Bhagavata Dadi. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Bhari Vajakacharya. Ashtotara Shata Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Sri Laisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Patita Pavana, Savior of the Fallen Souls, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada flooding the whole universe with a tidal wave of super ecstatic Krishna Prema Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Bhari Vajakacharya Ashtotara Shata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Nantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsika Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru in Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tvam Eka Kila Lokanam Klishtanam Klesha Nashanaha Tvam Eka Klishada Tesham Anashana Padam Tava Tvam Eka Kila Lokanam Klishtanam Klishanashanaha Tvam Eka Klishadash Tesham Anasana Padam Tava Tvam Eka Kilaloganam Klishtanam Klishanashanaha Tvam Eka Klishadash Tesham Anasana Padam Tava Tvam Eka Kilaloganam Klishtanam Klishanashanaha Tvam Eka Klishadash Tesham Anasana Padam Tava Sham Anasana Padam Tava Tvameka Kila Lokanam Tvameka Klishtanam Klishanashanaha Tvameka Klishadash Tesham Anashana Padam Tava Tvameka Klishalokanam Klishtanam Klishananashana Tvameka Klishadash Tesham Anasana Padam Tava Vaishnavis Tvameka Kilalokanam Klishtanam Klishanasanaha Tvameka Klishadash Tesham Tava You Eka, alone. Kila, indeed. Lokanam, of the people. Klishtanam, afflicted with miseries. Klesha, the distresses. Nasanaha, relieving. Tvam Eka, you alone. Kleshada, inflicting distress. Tesanam, tesam, tesam, on those, anasana, not taken shelter, padam, feet, tava, your. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, You are the only one capable of ending the affliction of the distressed, and inflicting agony on those who never resort to your feet. Purport. The words Kleshadash Tesham Anashana Padamtava indicate that the Lord has two concerns. The first is to give protection to persons who take shelter of his lotus feet, and the second is to give trouble to those who are always demoniac and who are inimical toward the Lord. Maya's function is to give afflictions to the non-devotees. Here, Brahma said, "You are the protector of the surrendered souls. Therefore, I surrender unto your lotus feet. Please give me protection from the demons." Om Gandhiram Yasaganandala Salakaya Chakshur Almilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Svatpitam Yena Bhutale Svayamrupa Kadanmayam Dati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakambitam Shcha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchari Gorangi Radha Vrindavanesvari Vrisavana Sutta Devi Pananami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatiu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So Lord Brahma here is speaking pretty simply that only the Lord can relieve material distress, and that the Lord, on the other hand, will also give agony to those who never surrender to Him. So, what's the better deal? Obviously, the better deal is to surrender to the Lord and receive His protection at every moment. But surrender, you know, doesn't just mean a quick saying that I'm surrendering and then going and acting like a demon. So we have to be in a constant moment of surrender at every step. And here in the purport, Prabhupada gives like another kind of, he's saying in another words that Brahma is saying, "You are the protector of the surrendered souls, therefore I surrendered unto your lotus feet. Please give me protection from these demons." So this is an example if we're ever in distress that we should immediately surrender to the Lord. But that's not the only time. It should be a constant practice of constant surrender to the Lord so that we're always receiving the Lord's mercy and we're not receiving kicks from Maya. So we have to have this humble, submissive mood that I have no good qualities, that I'm completely struggling in Maya, but Lord, please, please give me your benediction, your protection, your mercy, so that I can practice Krishna consciousness nicely. So, there's an interesting thing to relate to this. Is Brahma's praying for shelter in the time of disaster. And to take it a step further, we can look back at the prayers from Queen Kunti, where she is in a state of disaster, but she's praying for more disaster to come upon her so she can take more and more shelter of the Lord. And in that manner, she's realizing that everything's Lord's mercy, and that if He gives me material benedictions, then actually it can, and for some, it can create a block on understanding or attaining devotional service. And my spiritual master made a nice comment on this, that he was saying that we should have a mood of, if disaster comes to us, because Queen Kunti is praying for disaster, but if disaster comes to us, that actually we should see it as the greatest blessing. And we can think that, wow, Krishna has sent me a distress, a disaster, and I forgot to pray for it. I didn't even pray for a disaster, but Lord, you're so merciful that you gave it to me anyway. So that's a highly advanced point of view, but that is something that can be attained. So if we always develop this mood of humble submission, of thinking of myself lower than the straw on the street, of course the famous verse, Trinada Pishani Chena, as we all know, thinking myself lower than the straw on the street at every single moment, then I'll be actually qualified to receive the Lord's mercy at every moment. So that's what actually a devotee actually means, is not just dhoti, tilak, kantimala on the neck, tilak on the forehead. No, it means to be a sold out servant to Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas at every moment in developing this mood of humility, which is the constitutional position of the living entity, Jivira Srupa Krishna Nityadas. The constitutional position of a living entity is that is he is a servant of Krishna. So a servant of Krishna automatically has humility. So this is something that we should definitely strive for, or else we won't actually ever feel satisfied. There's a very famous song back from the late 60s, early 70s. It's, I can't get no satisfaction. And I try, and I try, and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. And everybody heard that song, like it hits like a nerve, because it's like, it's so true. That there's nothing in this world that can give us satisfaction. The only way we can be satisfied is to surrender to the Lord. And according to this verse right here, if we surrender to the Lord, we receive His protection. If we don't, we receive His misery. So the only way for satisfaction is to surrender to the Lord. If we don't, we're in for a world of suffering. So there's a nice... I was reading last night in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya was going through ecstatic fits of ecstasy. So much that his joints were becoming dislocated by 8 inches. Imagine that. I mean, that's a big distance to have your arm separated from your joints. And sometimes he would be so ecstatic that he would his limbs would come into his body like a tortoise. And he'd be scraping, some other times he'd be staying up all night, scraping his head and mouth against the wall so much that injuries were coming about him. He'd be running wildly, wailing and crying, seeing the sand dunes as Govardhan. And his mood, practically day and night, was identical to Radharani's state of mind when Uddhava came to Vrindavan to see the gopis. But there's some few verses here that I found very amazing. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 2:31. It says, topics, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking in his fits of ecstatic ecstasy, topics about Krishna are like waves of nectar. If such nectar does not enter one's ear, the ear is no better than the hole of a damaged conch shell. Such an ear is created for no purpose. It's pretty heavy. So like if I'm, even if I'm sitting there chanting, I'm sitting here hearing a class, I'm looking at the deities and hearing kirtan, whatever. But if I'm not actually hearing, then what's the use of my ear? It's not actually even has no purpose. The only purpose of it is for to hear the nectarian sweet names, sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then in the 33rd verse, one's nostrils are no better than the bellows of a blacksmith. If one has not smelled the fragrance of Krishna's body, which is like an aroma of musk combined with that bluish, with that of the bluish lotus flower. Wow. Imagine that. Krishna, smelling Krishna. the sweet aroma of musk combined with the bluish lotus flower. That's such a divine smell. So wonderful. Just imagine what it would be like to just be standing in front of Krishna and to get wafts of these beautiful, wonderful smells. But then Lord Chaitanya says, indeed such combinations are actually defeated by the aroma of Krishna's body. So actually imagine that. It's nothing like that. It's completely better. It's on a whole other platform. So even the most beautiful smell we could imagine, just roll it up and kick it out, because it's not even anywhere close to what the smell of Krishna would be. And then in the purport of, this is really amazing, in the purport of the 35th chapter, 35th verse, Prabhupada's writing that this is the actual definition of humility according to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or the Nectar Devotion. He says the word Dainya, or humility, is expressed as follows. When unhappiness, fearfulness, and the sense of having offended combine, one feels condemned. This sense of condemnation is described as dinata, humility. When one is subjected to such humility, he feels physically inactive. He apologizes and his consciousness is disturbed. So that's real humility. It's like totally, you know, I was always, whenever I used to have a, before I took Krishna consciousness seriously, I had this girlfriend, and she always told me, you really need to develop humility. And I never understood what that meant, because to me, you know, I understood what humble meant, but then the word humility was bewildering to me, because it sounds like humiliation. And when I read this last night, I realized, oh, humble and humiliation, they're different. You know, they just sound similar. But when I read this last night, I was like, wow, no, actually humility means to just feel completely humiliated about your situation. You're unhappy, you're fearful, and you feel like you're offending everybody at every moment. You feel condemned. You feel like you just don't want to do anything, because you're totally like, you know, I can't go serve the deities, I can't lead a kirtan, I can't give a class, because I'm not, you know, capable of doing that. And he's apologizing. I'm sorry that I'm here in this position. I'm sorry that I'm here. I'm not qualified to do this, but still I'm here because, you know, I'm trying to please you. And his consciousness is disturbed at every moment. He's just lamenting. Oh my God, I can't believe that. So this is real humility, actually. And if we analyze it on this, I know for myself that I am, like, you know, not at all humble. Humility is not just like, Prabhu, like, somebody glorifies me. Oh, haha, you know, actually, no, that's not. But actually, internally, I'm thinking, this is great, I'm getting glorified. But, oh no, Prabhu, I'm making a show of being humble. But actually, according to this, real humility is a whole nother realm that, you know, I can only hope to attain one day. Yeah, and then later on in text 49, he's saying, Lord Chaitanya is speaking, unalloyed love of Krishna is like an ocean of happiness. If someone gets one drop of it, the whole world can drown in that drop. That's pretty amazing. So we can aspire to gain one of that drop, so we can flood the whole world with this drop of ecstatic Krishna consciousness. So, going back to Lord Brahma saying this, and to understanding that no satisfaction comes from material energy, it only comes from serving Krishna. What I read last night in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it could easily just say, man, what the heck? Sounds like there's absolutely no satisfaction anywhere in the whole world, material and spiritual. But if we go back to hear what Lord Brahma is saying, he's saying that God is giving satisfaction, protection to those who serve Him, and not giving protection to those who do not serve Him. So one can say, well, this is Lord Chaitanya who is showing the what it means to be a devotee. So he's feeling, you can, if you look at it, appears he's not feeling very satisfied. And even if we agree with that, we hear that actually separation makes the heart build stronger. And we see in the pastimes of Krishna, sometimes, you know, he removes himself from his pure devotees so that they become more attached to him. It's not that he's leaving forever, he will come back one day. So we can see it this way, that this is just Krishna kind of like playing with us, but he will give us full satisfaction one day, even if we have this skeptical mindset that Krishna will never make us satisfied. But if we understand these pastimes, he's always with his devotees in that sense. So there is satisfaction there. And on a higher platform too, we hear that separation is the most satisfying for the soul. So this is some kind of points that I was reflecting on. And I find them very deep. But please, if there's any devotees who would like to fill in some gaps that I missed or correct anything that I said, please do so. Hare Krishna. Can we get a mic for Maharaj for the millions of people tuned in online around the world?
Thank you very much for a nice class. Otherwise, I wouldn't be asking a question or making a comment. But what do you mean by satisfaction? Will you define it for the class here so that we know when we're satisfied or when we're not satisfied? That's the first thing. It's worthless to use a word unless we all know we're talking about the same thing. So why don't you define it for us the way Srila Prabhupada has given to us? And then I have, I think, another question, but let's get through this one first.
So what does satisfaction mean?
Yeah. What are we talking about? You said, I don't get any satisfaction out of this, but I get satisfaction out of that, so to speak. So what do we mean? What is the difference?
The difference between
satisfaction and dissatisfaction or no satisfaction.
Okay. Satisfaction would mean that I don't need anything else than what I have. And dissatisfaction is I feel like I need something more. What I'm getting that I think is making me happy is not fulfilling me. I feel like empty still.
Is that it? Anybody would like to add something to that? Okay, I will. Okay, satisfaction is a feeling of that my body, my mind, my feelings, my thoughts, my ideas are all peaceful. Then I'm satisfied. But when they become unpeaceful or disturbed or upset or disabled, then I'm dissatisfied. So therefore, if you speak and you make a big mistake, let's say you do, you haven't made any mistakes, but if you speak and you make some bad mistakes, and I'm an intolerant person, I always say, duh, what are you talking about? You know, that's dissatisfaction. And if you're doing it and you do it very nicely, just the way it's done in Srila Prabhupada's books, I said, yeah, that's satisfaction. It means mentally, he's peaceful. He's thoughtful. He's considerate. He's thinking. And he's considering all of our needs as well. And consequently, that is what is satisfaction. And everybody walks out with a mild or big smile on his or her face. Okay? When you're dissatisfied, it's very obvious. And very often, I mean, there are different levels and different degrees of dissatisfaction. This was... it can go up and up and up to higher and higher levels of dissatisfaction expressed. Then there is dissatisfaction which is very intense, but it's not expressed because the person is tolerant, he's understanding, and he doesn't want to make a big thing in the class, and he may bring it out in a very peaceful way. So there are different ways of expressing dissatisfaction. It could be very graphic, and it can also be very peaceful. That's all I'm saying. So you can't always judge it from the X, but by the way the person is speaking, there's a lot there if you listen carefully. Okay? Thank you.
Yeah. to say something else?
Yeah, thank you. Is that you used, if I can remember those two words that you used? Now I can't remember them. Sorry. There were two words that I wanted to know whether you were defining or using them in the same way. It'll probably come back because all this other stuff is piled on top of it now. It may take me a few moments. But if it comes back, I'll ask you. Thank you. Sorry.
Mukta Avatar Prabhu, thank you for your presentation. This definition of satisfaction is actually extremely important because that's what we're looking for. So Prabhupada defines satisfaction as being in your constitutional position. Mm-hmm. When you actually are in your constitutional position, totally connected to Krishna, then you are satisfied. And he uses the example of the child and the mother. The child is crying and passed around to everybody. Somebody's trying to feed it. Somebody's trying to rock it this way, and it's still crying. But when it comes back to its constitutional position of being in the mother's lap at her breast, then the child is satisfied. So yes, until we're completely connected to Krishna, we're always looking for something else, because we don't feel that satisfaction that we want, that we deserve. That's our natural constitutional right. And that's what impels us to keep looking. But when we come in contact with Krishna, I don't have to tell you that you're satisfied. You know, when you're in contact with Krishna, that satisfaction begins. And when you're completely surrendered to Krishna, like Lord Brahma is trying to do here, he's running away from his own creation, his sons, demoniac sons that are chasing after him. He's looking for shelter, and he won't feel completely satisfied and protected until he's under Krishna's lotus feet, which he describes elaborately in his Brahma Samhita. So that's real satisfaction. Real satisfaction means being in your constitutional position, completely connected to Krishna.
How does this manifest? How do we express? How do we feel? How do we interact with when
we're satisfied in that constitutional position? Maharaj, could you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Guru is not present physically, then let's read his books and study them, memorize them, and execute the instruction of the spiritual master, like the execution of order of Prabhupada is distribute my books. You can see if someone takes that fully, they become happy. They're ecstatic when they go out on book distribution and someone takes a book from them. They feel the connection with Krishna and giving that soul an opportunity to come in contact with Krishna. That is satisfaction. That is ecstasy. And that is following the instruction of the Guru. Follow the four regulative principles strictly, without any deviation. Chant 16 rounds a day without deviation. Come to the full morning program. Pray to Krishna for mercy so that I can serve his lotus feet. These things are very important. And then you'll become satisfied. Prabhupada said, I guarantee you'll become satisfied.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was just going to add something more about the point of humility. This is Srila Prabhupada one time wrote a letter to one of his senior devotees. He said, real humility means that you don't depend on your education, your family, your bank account, Nothing of this. Real humility is when you're totally dependent on Krishna. That was one definition he gave. And another reflection that I had about, there was a king who committed a big offense to Srinivasacharya when, you know, they were going to preach to Bengal, and he stole the treasury, which actually was all the books, the knowledge. And finally, when he realized that he committed a big offense, he surrendered to the king and he accepted him as his spiritual master. And he said something very significant, because being, you know, big offense, he says, "I want to be known as an offender." So that I want to be known as an offender for the rest of my life. So that's, you know, an act of humility, like completely surrender. He's displaying that. Hare Krishna.
Jai, it's amazing. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm sorry, Maharaj. We're out of time. I'll get this stick if I don't end it. Thank you for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. New Dwarka Dham ki jai.